How was it? How was there like a ton of drugs in there too?
Yes, there's Suboxone is a big drug.
How are they getting them in?
Now the county, when I was there, it was through the mail. They get the Suboxone strips.
Yeah.
And then the guards bring in the other stuff like heroin, weed, all the hard stuff. But I know what you do is you get a card, you get a razor blade, and you cut open the card and you put the strips in there. They're kind of hip onto it now.
Oh, because Suboxone comes in a little strip, a Listerine breath strip.
And they mail it in. And other ways, like I said, it was the guards. Some guards were dirty and getting paid to do stuff. And visits. People swallow balloons on visits. And now, a story about this kid, right, that's known in the county. And this is one of the stories he's known about. They saw in the visit, they saw him swallow a balloon. They knew he had some.
Yeah.
Right? So what they did was they wouldn't let him go back to the block until he took a shit. They want him to shoot him out, right? So the dude, he's nervous as hell. He's in there for a long time. You know, the story is that he took the shit and he felt it coming out, that he was able somehow to pinch his butt to catch the drugs and still let the shit come out.
He let a turd out and kept the balloon in
there? Kept the balloon in there and got away with it.
Was it the guy who was getting raped?
No, that's not the guy getting raped. You would think so.
Somebody should have raped him. That sounds like one of the most magical butts
I've
ever heard.
Unbelievable. But, wow. Yeah, that's my first 3 months.
You could break the internet with that button.
Now, I took a deal. I just wanted to get out. I would have got a 1 to 2 in the county.
Yeah.
You know, this is 3 months. I'm not used to this type of stuff. So I took a deal. It's called drug court.
Yeah.
Now, what drug court is it's technically a 4-year sentence, but you do 2 years, you have to report to the judge. You get to see a judge once a week in the beginning, and then once you get to a certain level, then you go like once a month, and then
so you're out of jail.
You're out of jail, but you're not really. You got a you see a parole officer once a week. You do the same kind of intensive outpatient.
So you're out of jail.
Yeah, they're
supervised.
On you. Like they're drug testing you 3 times a week. They don't let you do anything. I mean, the rules are ridiculous. They find out if you left the county, went to Philly, they'll violate you.
Yeah.
I last it.
How'd your drug court go?
28 days in drug court, and the judge told me I never seen anybody get discharged or kicked out of drug court so fast without catching a new charge. This is unbelievable.
So you were just melting cups?
2 to 4. I was through everything. Through melting cups, lying, forging my meeting list, not going to community service. I did what the fuck I wanted to do.
Melting cups is okay. Cups. Right,
I melted. I had about 3 melted cups. Now, while I'm doing 28 days, I went back to the county twice. I'm back to the county one time for a day trip.
For what?
I met a cop, and the judge's like, you're going to the county. I decide what I'm going to do with you. Let me out the next day.
Okay.
That was a long 24 hours. That shit was horrible, right?
Were you
I had 13 sanctions in 28 days.
Okay.
For so everything.
When was the time when you smacked the cup on accident?
You were out of pocket.
Oh, that's
you
were out of pocket. I was real out of pocket, right? And I remember, man, when they my final sanctions, when they, you know, this time I burned the cup up. Now, quick story. I got caught, and I went to IOP 3 days a week, and they drug tested, sir. And then I saw my parole officer. Now, I was on they had eyes on me, so I had to see my parole twice a week. So I was getting killed. But in the beginning, I've been on Suboxone before in the past, and I didn't know you were going to get high off it until I went to jail and found out. So I did. Now, I'm still in my addiction. When I was on drug court for the first 2 weeks, I did a Suboxone. Got away with it. Next week, I did it again. Took a piss test at my IOP, and it came back the next week. I felt it.
Yeah.
Now, this is on a I felt it on a Friday. And I took it that Friday also. Now, my parole officer don't find out about it until Tuesday. He calls me in that file on Tuesday and has me take a piss for him right there. And Suboxone is a special test. He had me do a dipstick and said, I'm hot for Suboxone. When'd you do it? I said, I did it Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm going to see what I'm going to do with you. Took me to the supervisor in charge of drug court. This lady, she had a parole also. Sat down with her. She goes, so you're telling me that you're hot for Suboxone team. You told me you did it on Friday. There's no way that's possible. I said, what do you want me to tell you? I did it on Friday and did it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Now, I never saw the test. Now, what parole officers do a lot, and I heard a lot of stories, what they do is, and I actually had this happen to me more than once too, that they'll say, oh, why are you hot for this when you're not? They just want to see if you're
going to
say,
freak out,
you know, see if you'll admit to it. So, this is definitely what happened, because I wasn't hot in case the test was wrong, but he said I was, but he never showed me the test. Now, I'm in the room with the head lady and my parole officer telling them that I did it on Friday. And she said, there's no way that's possible. And she grabs like two or three other parole officers, females, brings them in and says, tells them what's going on. This kid did this thing on Friday and said that he did it on Friday, and he's hot on Tuesday. That's impossible. He had to do it a different day. I'm sitting there like, no, I didn't. I did it on Friday. I understand it's Tuesday, but what I'm telling you is,
so you're
I did not do it.
You're arguing with a bunch of like parking authority ladies basically
for like an hour.
And now,
right?
Now, why is it impossible that you did it on Friday? Why is
they
impossible?
Said it should have been out of the system. It's in your system at the most 3 days.
I see.
Now, I'm already had a couple of sanctions with the judge. I did my 24 hours in the county. Now I'm nervous, you know. And she finally goes, listen, if you just tell us the truth, I will personally make sure when you go in front. I was supposed to see the judge that night. When you go in front of the judge tonight, you will not go to jail, and your sanction will be light.
Yeah.
She didn't say light, but in those terms. Now, I said to her, well, do you want me to tell you I did something when I didn't do it? You know, I said something like that. She goes, well, now we see you're lying. Well, you want me to lie. I just put I surrendered and said, listen, I did it on Sunday, which was completely false.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got my sanction was community service, like I forget how many hours, like 24 hours. And I did 16. Another sanction. No,
why do 16 though? If you're not going to do it,
I wanted to in drug court. I just thought I was the man. I could get away with everything.
Yeah,
because my first time being in this thing, I thought I could beat these people. I thought I'm the first one. I can get away with everything. But there's been a lot of people like me that can't get away with none, and I didn't. As you can see, 28 days, 13 sanctions later.
So what happened?
Now, my final one, I go to the high end, and they send me back to the county. Now, I'm in the county for I go there July 1st. Is that the granny's birthday?
Yeah.
July 1st. Now, I'm talking to my dad, talking to my lawyer. They're saying that I'm going to get another shot in drug court, but you have to go in front of the judge.
Uh-huh.
So I sit there for 2 months, and then every night I'm talking to my dad, you know, I'm stressing. He goes, don't worry, you're going. You know, and the other dude was in there from drug court, and he's like, yeah, we're going to get another chance, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, in my mind, I'm getting another chance. So this time, I'm in 4A. I'm also now I'm in the jungle.
So you're in the worst block now?
I'm in the worst. I'm with all the young dudes from Chester, just robbing people left and right, just wilding out.
Yeah.
I make it out there, no problem. You know, I know how to do a bid now.
Yeah.
You know, I did 4C. I know how to.
How long were you in 4C?
3 months.
3 months.
And
you got out, did 28 days in drug court.
And
now you're back in 4A.
4A.
Okay.
And I'm in here 2 months.
Now you're in 4A and, for 2 months.
Now, everything's going good. I'm Commissary King, you know.
Still
in
the
store.
The Swansons are going strong.
Putting money in people's books, killing it, eating. And then in my mind is I'm going one more chance to drug court.
Yeah.
You know, and thank God I didn't get that chance. But I'll never forget I was in. And we went. Now, when you have to go to court in county prison, it's a little pain in the ass process. They wake you up 4 in the morning, take you down to the holding cell in the county. You're there for like 3 hours. You get your breakfast. And they come, they have to shack you up, hands and feet, put you with two other people. Now it's like a chain, me and two other people.
So you're like
little
brothers, where art thou?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like that. I'm George Clooney, though.
Yeah.
So they take us to, they take us on the van, you know, and we get to court by like 8:30. You know, we've been up since 4. It's just a long process.
Okay.
It's horrible,
so
right? You know, I go in front of the judge. Now my lawyer comes down to me and says, listen, you need to tell this judge why you want to stay in drug court.
Yeah.
You know, you better, you know, give it to him. Tell him some good stuff. I'm like, all right. I get in front of the judge, right? This is what I say to him. Well, I really want to do it this time, Judge. I forget his name. Anyway, I really want to do it this time. Well, one thing is I'm on – drug court was – just how bad drug court was. They put me on medication. I didn't want to go on.
Yeah.
Paxil, antidepressants. They put me on – that's how serious – it's horrible.
Yeah.
They don't let you do anything. They wouldn't let me work for, like, the first year.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, they put me on a new –
they give you mandatory medication?
Absolutely.
Ooh, that's –
You have to see a psychiatrist.
Seems pretty unconstitutional.
Whatever he thinks you should take.
You have to.
You have to take it. And they piss at you to make sure you're taking that stuff, too.
Wow.
Shit.
Now, I guess you do have the freedom to not take it, but then you just go to jail.
They're going to put you on some – it's just – you're not going to win with them. You do have that right to not take some medications.
Yeah, you can say, no, I'm not going
to
take the medication. But then
they're
going to
be
like,
on your ass.
You're out of drug court
You might as well just –
Yeah.
So I did not want to take this stuff.
So they didn't like your speech.
They did. Well, I started taking stuff in the county, and I said, listen, I'm taking the medication. I see a big difference, and that's it. That's all I got. You know, I don't want to let down my grandfather, my aunt, and my dad were in the court, right? And I come out shackled up, man. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah, of course.
Because the judge was just like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, well, before my aunt talked, my aunt Joanne's great. She goes, I want to make sure he goes. I'm going to take him to all his meetings. She's the one that actually got me in the drug court. Mm-hmm. You know, she has some connections. And,
yeah.
You know, so she was awesome, and she went from the judge. She said, listen, I'm going to make sure he goes. And she did that stuff. Yeah, she took me to drug court a couple of times. She was awesome. But like I said, my spiel didn't work. And he goes, boom, you got 6 months credit right now. So you're going to do, I'm going to give you triple RI, which is if you're nonviolent, which I don't know how I got with that because I had a simple assault on my record, but they still gave it to me.
They probably asked about the fight.
3 months. Oh,
they're like, yeah, you didn't really good. Do shit.
wait. What's the simple assault?
Real quick. He started a fight. My cousins beat someone up in Westchester.
Well, we got knocked down. We got charged with simple assault, and we got knocked down with disorderly conduct.
Yeah.
And triple RI is nonviolent. You get it, which is 3 months off to a year. So every year you get 3 months knocked off. So when he told me, he goes, you got 6 months in, you're going to be doing a year upstate. I thought I was going to get 18 and 36. Yeah. I didn't calculate the triple RI. I didn't know anything about it. So I remember.
I'm sorry. So what's triple RI?
It's just when you're upstate, it's a state sentence. And if you don't have any violence on your, if your charge is not violent,
yes.
You can be qualified to get triple RI.
So
which
it cuts
is,
your time in half.
You cut your time. It's pretty much you get 3 months off 1 year.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but when he told me you got 6 months credited, and I think I only had really five. I forget.
So you thought you were going to jail for 18 months.
I thought I was getting 18. I thought my sentence was 18 to 36. Yeah. But it was actually 2 to 4.
So it was good news.
Good news.
Oh, wait. So you end up getting more.
But technically, yeah, I got more for parole.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm wearing walking back. The sheriffs that take you when you get done court, you know, I said bye to my family. So I'm not going to see them for a while.
Yeah.
I get no visits in the county. Yeah. I didn't want to, you know. And then, you know, I said bye to everyone. You know, I broke my dad's heart. I'll never forget that. But I'm walking back, and the judge's like, the sheriff that was taking me back, he's like, what'd you get? I told him what I got. He's like, oh, that's nothing, man. And I had so much relief once I got that, too. Like,
so you're out of the county?
I'm out of county. Like, I know what I have to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm done all this shit. Because drug court was so stressful. I wasn't ready to, you know, settle down, and it just wasn't for me. It was every night was something stressful. Like paroles were coming up.
Yeah,
you know,
annoying.
it was just crazy. So I never forget, I walked back to the block. Now there's the other kid was telling me about drug court. He thought he was gonna get a second chance too.
Yeah.
Now he had a crazy new charge, assault record. He has aggravated assault on staff members at a hospital. He was messed up on clonopins. Now he asked me what I got. I told him I got 1836. He, oh, nice. He's like, oh, I think I want to get off. He gave him 3 to 6, and he came back crying his eyes out, man. I'll never forget that. And a lot of guys come back crying, man, because they get on my block, dude. There's guys that were getting 5 to 10. I seen someone get 13 to 26. I mean, there was some real hefty sentences.
But just to make sure, like 13 to 26 is 13 to 26 years.
13 to 26 years.
Yes. Ooh, baby.
Sucks.
So.
So black now you're boy. Stay in the whatchamacallit?
Now state prison. And then
what happened? Was there anything notable that happened in there?
Well, so you went to Graterford. My old head. We said we were cellies. He told me everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, told me the difference. Like I said, commissary, you could smoke up there.
That's true.
And the biggest drug in prison is a drug called K2. They call it Tukey.
Fake weed.
Think marijuana. And the reason they have it in there because you can't test for it.
Like now, the gas station shit you buy.
I have a experience with Tukey and Graterford. That's a pretty funny story. I was with one of my young boys from Aston. Now, he was a hippie kid, stoner kid. Now, K2 makes you trip in a way. It really, like when you smoke it, you're just like, you know, it's a bad drug, real bad. But people just, they bug out on it, they stress. Now, we and him get a stick for like $3 for, you know, that's cheap upstate, you know, a couple soups.
So you got a couple soups for a stick of K2.
So, now, I want to,
awesome.
So I'm in, like I said, when I was in Graterford, I was on E block first for 6 weeks. Now I did a long stint in Graterford, which is really not unheard of, but the jails were so populated. If you had under 2 years, you were going to spend a week and go right to Camp Hill to get classified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything more than 2 years. Camp, oh, really?
I lived in Camp Hill.
Oh,
yeah,
this
yeah,
Camp
yeah.
Hill, man. Wait to hear about that place.
What happened with this Deuce when you guys smoked it?
So I'm on E-Block now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working out. I'm getting strong, feeling smoking good. Now I want to relax. I'm going to smoke one Deuce stick. One Deuce stick. Now, the kid told me, he's like a hippie kid, said, listen, I'm the best person you want to trip with. You know, everyone trips with me, you know? Because I was telling him, like, dude, I'm not really trying to bug out off this shit. I'm just trying to take a hit, you know? I was you know? I mean, I heard all these crazy stories about it.
Yeah.
So he's telling me that he's the best person to smoke with and trip with. He's going to take care of me, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
so you're in jail with an evil hippie, basically.
We're evil hippie. And I'm we're this time, like I said, I went from E-Block, which was when you're getting classified.
Okay.
Because E-Block is everyone that's getting ready to go to Camp Hill. Or PV, guys up at Fall.
Okay.
And now the another difference is PVs are in blues.
All right.
Blue clothes. Now, if you're going to Camp Hill, you're in a yellow jumpsuit.
Okay.
That thing sucked. I wear that thing for 3 months.
Yeah,
exactly.
So what happened with this fucking dude?
So now I'm at, like I said, on E-Block was, you know, we had yard every other yard time or block out.
Yeah.
Now I did 6 weeks and I get to A-Block. Because, like I said, everything was filled up. So they put a lot of us before we went to Camp Hill to A-Block, which was 23-1.
So
we were able to walk the meals, and we were able to go to commissary,
so
get haircuts.
23 hours a day.
It was horrible. So we played 1-1 spades. That was awesome. And we played general rugby. Me and my one of these young boys, right, telling me that I'm the best person to strip with. So we smoked the deuce. And I'm loving it. I'm chilling. I'm, you know, on my deuce high, playing spades and stuff. Dude, after 5 minutes, I'm like all swole too. I'm getting kind of big and stuff, feeling great. We're playing cards, and all of a sudden he's like a woofer, you know, like jerk his head up real quick. You hear that? I'm like, what are you doing? I didn't hear nothing, man. Come on. And then I'm trying to get him out of it, right? He does again. Yo, you hear what they just said? Now, someone says something over the loudspeaker. He thinks what they said on loudspeaker was our cell, whatever our cell was, and said our names. We know you guys are smoking K2. We're coming down.
We know you're smoking K2.
We're coming down to take you to the hole. He tells me this. I grab the other half of the stick and flush it down the toilet. No, sorry, but before all this goes, right, he kept jerking his head up. And he told me that. I thought he was kind of bullshitting around.
Bugging out in jail.
Now, when you're in your jumpsuit, right? When you get in your cell in your jumpsuit, you take it off and you tie the arms around your thing. You're just chilling. So this motherfucker, man, puts his jumpsuit on, starts packing his box. Now, we have boxes when you go to Camp Hill, travel and stuff. He starts packing up all his boxes.
He's ready
everything
for the
room, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not knowing what's going on, you know?
He's going to break out.
Then he comes over to me, puts his hands out like a gentleman. He goes, it's nice to meet you, Phil, man. You know, what are you talking about? We're going to the hole. I'm like, dude, get the hell out of here, dude. Bug the hell out. Now, every time I hear keys, I'm at the gate looking out. I'm waiting for the cops to come down on me. And all night, I'm, you know, for like the first 2 hours after this happened, every time I heard the keys, I'm at the gate. And like, fucking 2 hours, no one comes by. We're not getting locked up. We're not going to the hole. He was just fucking bugging out.
Bugged out, yeah.
That was it. You know, and then the next day we were bidding on him hard. I told a couple people a story, dude, and we're just cracking up.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
What kind of drugs are people doing in jail?
Suboxone.
What else?
K2.
Then weren't you saying they snort antidepressants too?
Yeah. No, Neurontin is kind of like a pain pill that's almost narcotic or not.
Yeah.
And they would take, and it's hard to get prescribed to it now in jail, but everyone was getting them. And they come in, I think, like 1 milligram, 100 milligrams, 200 milligrams, 400 milligrams, 800 milligrams. And the most your body could take is 3,200, but it gets you high all day. You're speeding around, running around like a maniac.
What is so this guys, then? Did you say people are
snorting this is called Neurontin.
Okay.
They just take, they snort that too, but Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin.
It's antidepressant / anti-anxiety medication. And it gives you, they call it jailhouse coke. It's real popular now.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't actually subscribe to it no more because of this reason. And they snort it and they get a coke high for 10 minutes.
Jesus.
Now, when they prescribe you, like say you have a prescription for antidepressants, do they just give you a fucking pill bottle full? Yeah, you got
to
get
you
it.
You got to go to the med cart in the morning.
Yeah,
and
all right.
So I never got meds upstate, but you go in the morning time. Some people have special meds. They go in the afternoon,
okay.
And you go at night. There's like Tylenol and stuff. There's certain prescriptions that you're able to take it back to your cell.
Yeah.
And it's a bubble pack, and you only could get it refilled – say there's like 28 in there, so they know the month's over, you know, yeah, get yeah. filled. But stuff like that, and a certain antidepressants, and that was a hustle for guys. Some guys would get prescribed that stuff and they didn't need it, so they could sell it. Like, well, Wellbutrin's was a big one. Okay. They would get prescribed to it and they go sell it. If you could live on soups and if you could smuggle soups in, you would kill it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Dude, I might have to go to dinner. I might have to fucking...
You can make some money.
I would be horrible.
So I mean, you're enjoying yourself in state prison comparatively.
Like I said, the difference between county and state is state, there's no getting bailed out state.
Yeah.
Once you, that's your sentence. Sentence, and you have to be sentenced 2 or more years.
Okay.
So your back number's got to be 2 or more years.
Yeah.
And the numbers are always... usually even. I've seen uneven ones. Guys that get fucked like two to 10 years. Now that, you know, 3 to 6, what that is you have to do your front numbers is what you have to do in state prison or county. Your county jail does, your county time does count.
So like if you get 3 to 6, you're in jail not knowing whether you're going to do 3 or 6 years.
Exactly.
That's
kind of sucks. Is it based on good behavior?
It's based on a lot of things. It's based on good behaviors. It's based on programs. That's a big thing these days. The biggest program is called TC, the Therapeutic Community. Now, when I first started this back in the early 2000s, it was... now, I could be wrong about that. It might even started before that, but it was like a six-month program. Now it was 4 months. And I'll tell you about that when we hit Western. So it's like riot control stuff. But I'll never forget that. Get down, get back. The dude was trying to get a basketball that was caught on the ball right fence.
I would have shot it. I would have shot the basketball.
That guard in that tower has been waiting for that.
Yeah, dude, that's the thing. Like, they're living for that stuff, man. Yeah. They want that stuff.
I'm surprised he didn't catch your little rubber bullet. So that, how was Pittsburgh then? So then fast forward to Pittsburgh.
Western State Penitentiary is my home jail. That's why you're classified to go there. And the reason is how they do it is I had to do TC program, the community. And like I said, it's 4 months. So how they do it is whoever's short to the minimum, and I was short to my minimum. My minimum was August 25th, 2015.
That's your minimum of 2 years?
That's my minimum of – that's my RRI minimum.
Okay. So unless, 18 months. Unless you hit the button. Explain what that is.
Hit the button. Oh, hit the max button?
Yeah.
All right. The max button is, like I said, my sentence was 2 to 4 years. I did 18 months. I did not hit the max button. But guys, hit that max button. Because they don't want to go out on the streets and be on parole, you know. Yeah. And I'll tell you why when you hear my stories in a second. But parole is just a pain in the ass. At the time, I didn't know anything about it. But there's so many guys that said, "I'm just gonna hit." They call it. They said, "I'm gonna max out." I think you came up with the max. That's what it is. It's called the max button. They hit the max button. They just say, "Fuck it. I'm not doing my programs. I'm doing whatever the hell I want
to
do."
So you can like say fuck and you to the guards.
Do what I want. But you're not going to do too much because you get thrown in the hole.
Yeah.
And you do not want to be in the hole.
You want to get like one fight or something?
But you want to get, well, a lot of guys just do, they either fail a year, but you fail a year and you're still going to get to the hole. You're just going to not do your programs. Yeah. You're going to keep failing out your programs. Because TC is a real strict program. Depending what TC you want. Mine was kind of laid back, but still you had to do stuff. Yeah. Like it was 4 months, 4 different phases. And a lot of funny. I never laughed so hard in such a long time being in TC.
You're the leader, right?
Tony Blair. What it is your first phase, you're just an overseer. Now, the end of my first phase, I got bumped to safety crew leader. You have the senior coordinator, assistant coordinator, safety crew leader, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe like, I think there's 8 spots altogether.
Yeah.
And what it is a therapeutic community. You know, you're in a different part of the jail, away from, you know, in general population.
So your own little suite, kind
of. I was in Western State's one of the, was the oldest running state prison in Pennsylvania. But the TC, they actually built new cells and stuff.
So you have air conditioning and shit.
Air conditioning was beautiful. And I was, you know, I went up the ranks quick. I was safety crew leader when I wasn't supposed to be because someone got kicked off. And then my second phase,
someone hit the fucking max button. But, it was like,
you know, that happens so many times.
So
in TC.
And just so in the TC, it's a therapeutic thing community. And is it like kind of like almost like an AA type situation where you're in a in a meeting and you talk about
AA and NA is a little different.
Yeah,
therapy community, you could be in it for, you know, anything for violence too.
Yeah,
you know,
But I mean, same type of vibe.
Yeah, it's pretty much to get you like a set schedule. You know, woke up every morning after breakfast. We had our morning meeting, and what he did is people on the line, like you had the assistant coordinator, senior coordinator, and all these different. And you had to go out. Now, my phase two, I became assistant coordinator, which my title was nothing. I said one thing at the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
You know, I had to say how the meeting was going, and every time I said the meeting was going great, I run like I got caught out on it. There's one, a couple dudes take it. That's the thing. There's some, they call them TC Tigers. Yeah. Guys take it so serious, man. And yeah. The other thing's called pull-ups, and we have to do a pull-up, one pull-up a week. I got to tell on you for doing something. If you did something bad, I got to pull you up. And now everyone's got to do it. And they got push-ups. We do one push-up and one pull-up a week. Uh-huh. So nobody wants to tell on no one. Yeah. You got the TC Tigers that are going to, they're going to try to get you kicked out. And I seen guys get stabbed because someone got someone kicked out over something so stupid, and he fucked up your parole.
Yeah.
Because you have to complete and make parole. It's crazy.
Yeah. So most people are kind of cool, and they're just...
I had my selling TC. I actually switched. Thank God I did. His name was something Housley. His name. I fucked with him so bad, it's not even funny. He was in state for a DUI.
Okay.
He was a little crazy. He did...
He was in state prison for a DUI?
It was like fifth one, right? And he did it.
Five.
And he had like a 1-2 this time. And he had a 1-2 again before.
So yeah. What were you doing? Different.
Now, he was a TC. He did TC before. And he was one of those... His dude was like... His girlfriend was cheating on him to pay rent out there. And like he knew about it. He just got like walked... You know, just like... So but he was an asshole. He was such an asshole. He was an asshole, right? Mm-hmm. And the worst thing about him was he would pick up cigarette buds all throughout the state and bring them back in my cell and re-roll them, called re-rolls.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just, his fingers were all disgusting. And yeah. I don't know, I bought him a thing of tobacco one time, and he wasn't thankful at all. He was a complete asshole. Yeah. In the cell at night, I would just sit on the top bunk, and I always picked the top bunk because I just felt more comfortable. I felt away from everything.
Yeah.
A lot of people want the bottom. I like the top. I felt like in the bottom you get dirt going on you and stuff. So I would be laying there on the top bunk and just start saying dumb shit to him. Like, yo, man, your girl, like, I fucked with him. Like, I was so ruthless to him because he was such an asshole. The stuff I said to him.
Like, could you have fucked him up?
We're about the same size. I definitely would have took him. It definitely would have been a little tussle.
Making fun of him for his girlfriend being a whore?
Everything, whore, just, I'm trying to think of stuff I made fun of him for, man. But he took TC so serious. Yeah. And he was a TC Tiger that I went from safety crew leader towards the end of phase one, which is unheard of. You can't be on the line. Then everyone votes.
Yeah.
Now I become assistant coordinator, and he doesn't even get on the line yet. He's so pissed off, right? Now I start abusing my authority. I don't start abusing my authority until I get to, and then I go from assistant to senior coordinator. That's the highest you can go.
You have some power now.
Because once you get to assistant, you only can go to senior. And I'm surprised I even got it.
Yeah.
But I got voted because I was cool, man. Because when you're assistant and senior, your door's never locked, only for count.
Yeah.
So I was walking around the block. I would pass stuff for people. I never pull people up. I ran the place real good.
Yeah.
So, but I used to be like, "Hells, you go lock in right now." When the guards were around and stuff, I remember one time, because I was loud out, and everyone had to lock in, and he was getting coffee. He was such a moosh too, and he was so bad with it, and he would never say thank you, and it was just like,
I bought lock him down.
Every time I feel bad for him, I give him a coffee, but I did it so I could fuck with him more. I remember one time, man. I think he was supposed to come in. I shut his door before, and he didn't see me shut his door. And everyone's going in. And it was time to lock down. TC, when it's time to lock down, you have to lock the fuck down. You're going to get in trouble, right? He goes to his door and he can't open it. Housley, what the hell are you doing, Housley? Lock in right now. And he was, fuck you, Rich. You don't tell me what to do. I'm like, Housley, you better lock in or I'm going to pull your ass up, man. You ain't. And dude, I used to do that shit to him all the time, dude. Like, I just abused my authority with him, and everyone loved it. Everyone used to be like, "Yo, Phil, please fuck with Housley." Lynch, do me a favor, please fuck with Housley right now, please. I'll never forget. Matthew Willis always do it to me. Lynch, I'm having a real bad day, man. Do me a favor, like, yeah, what's up, man? Can you please fuck with Housley? And awesome. I would just kill him, man. And he deserved it. He was an asshole. But as I said, every now and then I'll feel bad. I'll give him tobacco, some coffee. Yeah. But that's my payment for me to fuck with him as much as I want. So, and there was another funny guy, Tony Bollea. He was funny as hell. He was so dumb, but he was so funny. And after every meeting, when I was senior coordinator, I had to do a quote. I'd say some. And everyone had to say down the line. When you were done doing your speech, you had to say like a daily quote. Like, I don't know, like, keep, if it's working, then keep working it. And, like, you know, stuff will cover you later, right?
Yeah.
Now, my aunt sent me these. I didn't even ask her to. She just sent me these, like, these quotes that just keep my spirit up and stuff.
Yeah.
The one, I got to remember this, man. It was so stupid, but it was so funny. And it was like, does everyone know? It was like something like this. I asked a question, a dumb question, and everyone, and I would say the answer was like, I can't forget what it was. It's like, you know, there's no I in team, or there's something like that. I'll think of what it was. But I would use it.
It's like a generic.
Now, I use it every time, pretty much almost every time. And everyone's getting sick and tired of it and stuff. But so the one time I used it, they're like, you can't use it no more. The counselors that ran the group, they were gone one time, and I used it, and I couldn't say it. I was laughing, and everyone was cracking up. And it was stuff like that. But when I first said it to Belia, and like I said, he was dumb. He was not very educated. He was just a funny little Italian kid, a little short motherfucking funny shit. I remember when I said the quote to him, right? And I stood up, and I knew it was going to be a funny quote because it was so dumb, like the question and the answer. And then I said the question to him, right? Now, I'll never forget it. Now, he's looking at me like this. And when I said when I asked him the question, he was just, and I said the answer. He was, and he took it. You saw him register. He took a little bit to register, and he put a like big smile. And he got it, dude. I lost it, dude. I literally went back to my cell and I laughed out loud for an hour straight. Everyone was telling me to shut up. And I just kept thinking his dumb little face,
figuring it out.
Just like figuring out, and just dude, it was the dude. I was roaring, man.
Oh,
but that's how TC was. Yeah. It was like you had to pull people up, you had to tell them people for dumb stuff. You had things.
So you just crushed Housley the whole time.
I crushed Housley left and right, killing, made fun of him, and me and Belia bit it off each other. We totaled each other for dumb stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just. I wish.
And this was all at
Western State Penitentiary.
And Western State.